term that gets not just used a lot, but really abused in professional sports, is small sample size. Well, that's what I'm going to bring up today. Good morning to you. Good Thursday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Penguins. It comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into football and or baseball. I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Pirates in the same place that you found this. Yoel Blomqvist is on some kind of individual challenge trial, I guess you could call it, in the AHL's Calder Cup playoffs with Wilkes-Barre Scranton. That began last night up at Mohegan Sun Arena with a 2-1 loss to the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. Blomqvist stopped 30 of 32 shots, and in reviewing the video of it, my own assessment from afar was that one of them was a really lousy goal, just kind of squirted through his pads, should have been stopped, and from there it should never have been an issue. Other goal he could do nothing about, just a scramble in front of the net. He'd been forced down onto his back, and one of the Phantoms just picked it up and fired it by him while he was prone. The only reason I'm giving you the blow-by-blow here is to kind of underscore that this doesn't matter all that much. This is the smallest of small sample sizes, and it's not really going to do much of anything toward determining the future of the Penguins goaltending in Pittsburgh. It just can't. It just can't. Kyle Dubas brought this up last Friday in mentioning why he hasn't immediately gone toward Alex Nedeljkovic towards signing a contract. We've discussed that on the program already this week. I'm not going to go over it again, but Tristan Jarry's making around, you know, $5 million and change. You don't want the other guy, especially if he's going to be the starter, to be in the 3 or 4 range, because now you're spending a lot of money on a goaltending tandem that maybe you're not all that certain of, and you don't really have a way to get rid of Jarry. So in a perfect world, and my understanding is that we don't live in one of those, Blomqvist would, at age 22, become the next Matt Murray, who, of course, won a Stanley Cup for the Penguins when he was 22. And he would continue the trajectory that he'd put himself on over the course of this past AHL regular season, in which he was the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins' only all-star. He did a lot of good things. First season in North America, had different things to adjust to, earned all of the praise that he's received. So he plays in a playoff game last night. His team only scores one goal. That coming from Ville Koivunen, by the way, one of the prospects, maybe the best prospect acquired in the Jake Guentzel trade from the Carolina organization. AHL debut for that kid, by the way. A nice little footnote. But the game meant nothing. And I shouldn't say that. The game meant something. The playoffs always mean something. You do want to see how your players perform in playoffs. You want them to rise up. You want them to show their toughness. You want them to show that they're ready to do something a little bit extra for the benefit of their team. Blomqvist might only have one more game. This is a best of three series. If the Phantoms win the next one too, that's it. End of big challenge, you know? And if it's a game like last night or a specific individual performance like last night from which you learned nothing, one bad goal, one good goal, in general, 30 out of 32, okay. You're not going to have your defining factor in the decision as to what to do with Nedeljkovic or, for that matter, any other outside goaltending. Look, what I'm trying to say here is this. I don't believe in Jarry. I don't believe in Jarry and Nedeljkovic as a tandem. I don't believe in Jarry and Blomqvist as a tandem for a bunch of reasons, not least of which is that you want your prospect to keep playing. You don't want him to get to the NHL and get stuck in some backup duty in which he sits there for a month, if that's how it plays out. What we are seeing here Is Dubas avoiding what really has to be done for the health of the goaltending in the organization? And that's either somehow magically find a way to get the best out of him, which really not even a very good goaltending coach like Andy Kyoto has been able to do, certainly not consistently, or get rid of him. Find a way. Go talk to the Fenway guys. Tell them, look, man, I blew it. Really bad contract. I'll eat it, okay? I'll actually print it out and eat it right in front of all of you. But you got to let me either, you know, buy it out or buy out part of it, meaning pay part of Jari's salary so that somebody else will take it on and they can give a try themselves. Nothing else really makes sense. And that's distasteful. I mean, it's distasteful, especially if he eats the paper, but it's distasteful in any way. I just don't know what the answers are here. This is really, really being backed up into a corner. When we come back, J1Q. Today's J1Q isn't a question, but it's really, really good feedback. It comes from Adam, who says, in 31 of 51 appearances, at 60%. Over this past season, Tristan Jarry had a save percentage at or above 900, including 7 shutouts. That's pretty strong. In 17 of 51 appearances, meaning 33%, Jarry had a save percentage at or below 868. In those games, he was 1-14-0 with an aggregate 805 save percentage. That is horrendous. Jarry is capable of playing at a high level and can do so for extended stretches, but when he's bad, he's terrible and gives his team virtually no chance to win. You cannot win with a goaltender who is awful in one-third of his starts, no matter how good he is in other games. Now you know why Adam didn't ask a question, because those are the answers. I appreciate that. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Penguins. We're going to do another one of these tomorrow.